Thanks for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. If you would like to see me do stand-up live and live in the Los Angeles area, I will be at the Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont, June 19th through 21st. That's Father's Day weekend. FlappersComedyClub.com for more info.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine morning, sir?
You know it!
Did you become a rapper since we last spoke to you?
Damn straight!
Yo, 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 inside out. He's wiggity, wiggity, wiggity whack, y'all. Plan to be on the show was Jeff Meacham, friend of mine, who's been a guest before.
Couldn't take the heat.
Yeah, he was... evidently, he was much more offended about the offer to Paco to be full-time host than any of us had anticipated. And I don't know. I've lost a friend and yet I have gained one at the same time. No, I sent out a couple texts. I don't know if he forgot. In his defense, there was a lot of talk about backdoor on last week's episode. So maybe he's like, listen, ABC is owned by Disney. I got to step back. Yeah. Thank you, but no thank you. Speaking of this reoccurring bit that has come up on the show of us losing a guest, is that I want to say this. In fact, I should pull it up while I'm talking about it. Scott Beeson and I, author of the Working... Oh, I just put the book...
Cage Match.
Yeah, exactly. Author of the Working Dad's Survival Guides. He commented on something on our Facebook page, and what he did was he clarified a very big misunderstanding. Evidently, his only issue was with the title of the episode. He said in a post on our Facebook page that he said he thought the show was great. He had no qualms. It was just he was concerned about having his name come out there and saying sex toy extra credit. And so what that then means is that there was an element to his publicist's email that I kind of assumed that because she was saying, hey, if you could change the title, that would be great. If not, we understand. And if you could do, then there was also, if you could put him out on his own episode, but if you can't do that, then we just need to remove him from the podcast altogether. So I took that to mean it's not just the title, right. It is the content as well. And so I will find a way to now it's weird because if I go back in time and put the interview, I still have the file.
Oh, from when right,
I upload,
right.
I put the interview back. Then the conversation with Amanda on the following episode makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, none of it makes any sense. But no,
that's true.
I think it needs to be, not put back in time. Because you explain in that one in your repaired broadcast that there's a chunk missing.
Yes.
So listening to it chronologically, no one would have a problem.
No.
But then we can have the exciting, here's the unveiling of the highly... Can you imagine our numbers? It's going to be like Super Bowl numbers.
Well, the other thing...
When that interview finally goes out.
The other thing I think is good about this is that now we've been talking about this book for 3 weeks.
Yes,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
So,
that's true. Also, what I love all the more than anything is that when you came back from the interview, which you didn't run live, but we're going to drop in afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I made a thing about, wow, that was great. That was interesting. And there's absolutely nothing
no
in there.
To, yeah.
There's nothing there at all.
I was thinking about cutting that out, but I thought it would be funny.
No, it is
so
funny.
I left it.
It is funny. And I think that when he finally does come on, have a perfectly clean title, have it be the filthiest episode we have ever, ass licking, whatever we can come up with.
I'm not a prick. I may be inappropriate, rude, I will take, but prick, no. I'm not a prick. So I keep forgetting, and I try to get better at producing this show.
Yeah.
But this is actually being released on Father's Day.
Yes.
So happy Father's Day to you,
thank
dear
you.
Paco.
Thank you.
For those of you that are listening live, I found a great little audio clip that I'm going to play a little bit later. But if you want to call in once we get to that with some fun Father's Day or father quotes, from you. Let's just do it now. What do you say we do it now? Is there anything that you needed to get off your chest?
No, not at this second.
Okay, good.
No, I had not forgotten it was Father's Day when this would be released.
Right.
And I wondered to what extent you might have.
Well, here's the thing. I remembered that it was going to be Father's Day, but I was like... I don't know. Here's the thing. Let's do this first.
And frankly, that has little to do with our program.
It's
so
true.
I can understand why.
That's true.
There would be no association.
Here's the thing. I had kind of made plans weeks ago to be like, because this is technically, even though it's not to the date, it's to the event. It is the anniversary of Paco joining us here on the Dad Podcast. So
believe me, I'm well aware. Something else I thought you might not have remembered.
No. Come on. I
Back here,
inappropriate.
I'm not an asshole, right?
Hilarious will also be a word that can be used to describe me, but
internet celebrity.
I am not a prick. I am not a jerk in any way, shape, or form in that sense, I think.
Well, thank you very much for that acknowledgement.
I had planned for there to be a celebration, but yes, congrats, Paco. People are chiming in on the thing, but then it was discussed off air that we weren't sure if you were going to be able to make it today.
Right.
And so I shifted gears, which was not
well.
Hold on.
No.
Before you say anything, it's not like that meant that everything I had worked for weeks, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
It's not like it would have displaced me.
I understand.
You know what I mean? It's not, I don't want you to feel bad like, I made this, horrible. It wasn't the case at all.
Right.
Really what's been screwing up my life is these, now I know that there are rats.
Oh yeah, I saw that guy over here.
We had the exterminator come. I talked him into coming the next day. It's a great thing. While we're talking about fathers and Father's Day, I think all
and
too
rats.
Often, and
yes.
I guess
infestations.
All too often, I think that dads don't, as much as we complain. Remember the I think it was Loves had or Huggies. Huggies had the dad challenge or whatever of diapers.
Right.
So I like sometimes playing the dumb husband dad card, and it gets me stuff. It's what I like in a big breasted blonde woman. You know what I mean? She just does an extra, undoes an extra button. It's that. It is the father equivalent of that.
Yes.
Where the guy came out here, $2,600, by the way, is what that cost.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah. Now, there wasn't, as far as I know, there wasn't a lot of damage done to the house. It wasn't like I was, but what I get for this amount of money is that it is a lifetime warranty that anytime there's any kind of a rodent infestation, they come and they take care of it.
Yes.
They replaced all of the vents and grates around the house.
Great.
They sealed everything up. They remove all of the droppings.
Right.
And then they hit it with a pheromone.
The downside being that they left one of their day workers under there. So you will still hear some scratching for a while.
Yeah, he's on 3-day watch. No, he does Morse code.
Okay.
Yeah, he's digging. I gave him a little spoon, through the hole. He's Alcatrazing it. You know? But anyway. So that happened, so then I called, and then they said the earliest we could be there is Thursday,
right?
Which was Jack's birthday. We just celebrated Jack's fourth birthday. Happy birthday to Jack!
Happy birthday, Jack!
And so I was like, listen, here's the thing: I want to get you here as soon as possible because you could hear them doing that scratching, and I'm afraid that they were going to get up into the attic.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what happened? So let me stick to the chronological order of this. So we go through. And I tell her, I said, let's book it for Thursday morning.
Yes.
I said, but on the off chance, my wife yells at me because I'm a stupid man. I play that card.
Off chance?
My wife doesn't yell at me about anything. But
I forgot who you were married to.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking of myself.
So I play this card, and then I do a bit with the woman where I say, I just want you to know, because I know that you are also invested in my marriage. So I'm going to jump on the grenade when she gets angry. Okay, and I'm going to do this for the two of us. And she goes, well, if you want, you can have her call me. I said, really? I go, but here's the thing. If she calls you, I don't want you to be nice. I go, I need you to yell at her so she understands how ruthless you are as a person and why you intended to ruin my son's fourth birthday.
Right.
And she goes, I can be a real thing that I can't say over the phone right now, is what
she
said.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So then.
It's nice when they have a sense of humor.
It was great. And I had her laughing.
Women, I mean, not people on the phone.
Screw the rest of people. So then an hour goes by and she goes, hey, guess what? We had a cancellation. I got you in for tomorrow morning if you want to do it. So I was like, yes. That night, the night that we talked about it with Amanda after the recording, halfway up the wall, I hear the scratching now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh, thank God that they're here and that they're coming and all that stuff. Well, they seal up the whole house, okay, and they spray the pheromone, and it smells like Simple Green underneath the house.
Yeah, for now.
For now. Then what was great was a day of silence. So it was like, oh, my gosh, all of them are dead, right?
Yeah.
No. No, they're insurgents. Not. They're waiting.
Yeah.
And that's, I thought there was one. And now I know that there are at least two.
Yeah.
There are at least two because now they are attacking from air and land. Oh, I don't know if the sea would, if they come out through the toilet. What?
Maybe this is the rescue party that was sent
in. It feels like that movie Ben. Isn't that a thing where like the rats took over? Like, I think that's what's happening. No, it's not true. But the great part about it is.
Trace is the rat master.
He's like over there with a Piccolo Pete. But the funny thing is we put Jack to bed after his birthday. He stayed up really late, and then Natalie's reading to him, and then all of a sudden they hear the scratching up in the roof, and he's crying. She comes. I was out in the backyard visiting with my folks, and so he comes out, and she goes, I got bad news. They're scratching in the attic, and so that now I go up there. These animals are diabolical. So they put multiple traps up in the roof. I think they put two in the roof, and they put four underneath the house. One of them was tripped. With all the peanut butter eaten off of it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. And so I immediately reset the trap. My dad, it was great. My dad is, we're so much like each other. Like, yes. He was like, he's already got peanut butter, and he's like, let's get these fuckers.
He actually carries it with him everywhere he goes.
He's borderline doing like the Arnold Schwarzenegger rubbing of the mud on his face to come after the predator. Butter. You know, it's peanut butter he's rubbing on his face. He's going to just lay in wait in the insulation in the attic and just grab it and bite his head off like Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
And so we put it up there, and then I go, fuck, I had already bought another trap, so I put another trap up there in a different spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're going to get this sucker. And then I had to talk Jack down from the ledge of, now he thinks he's going to hear a loud snap when the trap goes off.
Right.
And what I love is that there was a part of me that goes, oh, he's worried about the rat. And he goes, can't you just go up there and kill it? Like, he doesn't care. He's not worried about the humanity of it.
Right.
And I may be raising serial killers.
I'm picturing you with a nail gun just blasting the wall when you hear the scratching, blood trickling down.
Well, and it's so funny. Like, so then everybody goes to bed. And then cut to, it's like close to, I don't know, 11 o'clock or something. I'm going to pull this off because I think it adds to the effect. So it's 11.
By the way, he removed the screen of the microphone, not anything else.
And the condom.
Else.
It's going bareback. The condom of the microphone. This is what raw podcasting feels like. Just a little bit better, doesn't it? No protection.
Harder. Faster.
You could get a little sick. You might actually get a baby from this podcast. Oh, no. A smaller podcast, if you would. So I'm sitting there watching.
Like a voice memo.
This is how my life is. I spend the summers watching shows that I meant to watch but weren't good enough to make the cut. During these. So I'm catching up on Under the Dome. I've got six episodes left of Under the Dome.
Yes.
And so I'm watching, and then I hear. But now it's coming from the kitchen instead of in the wall. And I get into the little mode where, let's see if I have it here still. I wish I would have had the time to fix this because I like the sound of this song right here. So this is, so now I'm there like the Terminator. I'm looking around, but it's me in my boxer briefs, socks, and a t-shirt, and a little mini Maglite LED, you know?
Right.
And I've got my ear to the cabinets trying to, and there's a part of it where it's like, it sounds like he's coming from just on the other side of the wall of the plumbing. He's gotten above the floor. He's above the floor.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh crap, what am I going to do? You know, I'm putting my hand on the wall like now I'm a Native American rat tracker. You know what I mean? I'm like feeling it through my hand like this to see if I could do anything. No, he's not in the wall. He's still underneath the house. So now I slowly creep out the door to look at the vents where he was coming out to get the dog food.
Yeah.
And I see little droppings inside the vent, but the fucker's trapped in there. He can't get out, but he's trying. He's trying to get out, but he can't, you know?
Yeah.
So then now I've scared him. So I go back to watching Under the Dome. So then 5 minutes goes
by. Which, by the way, is paralleling the life of the rat at this point, who's now trapped under the dome.
I'm just hoping there isn't a tunnel that he can jump off of and land in a playground. Spoiler alerts.
Oh, no.
It's 2 years old, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I still had season one on my.
Oh, crap.
Man,
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
So anyway, so then I realize that I can't go around because I have to open the gate and the gate is noisy. Uh-huh. So the only way that I could try and pinpoint where this rat is I have to go out the front door. but I don't want to wake up my wife. So I'm walking out. It's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm walking around in my front yard in my boxer briefs, the t-shirt, and socks.
Oh, where was I?
You were asleep. You were asleep.
No, not at 11.
So I was going out there, and the highlight of it was I find it, and I'm trying to figure out where it is. I'm so obsessed with tracking it. The highlight of it was I put my ear to the stucco like I am that Native American rat tracker.
Yeah.
I'm just listening. Nothing. I don't hear it. He's gone. So now I'm like, the only way I'm going to trap, I'm going to lay down on my driveway and wait the 5 minutes it takes before him to come back. Missing precious under the dome minutes here. This is what I'm willing to sacrifice to get at this son of a bitch who's trying to ruin my house.
Yes.
And so I sit there. He knows. Now he must be able to smell my musk or something like
that. Yeah.
So I take urine and I rub it all over myself. What's up, Luna just walked in with some Gentleman Jack and a shot glass.
Thank you very much. Sorry, there's water stains on the glass.
There's water stains on the glass? What?
There's water stains on the glass. I hate California water. Happy Father's Day, y'all.
That's like Marilyn Monroe singing to the president. All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Can't mix with Diet Coke.
I'm not going to mix with Diet Coke.
Thanks for clarifying. Was your wife ever a bartender? Or?
No. No, she was a lifeguard.
Maybe, you never know.
Well, oh, maybe. Right. She still may have to.
Yeah, she might start moonlighting as a...
So moonlighting. You know, it'll be the sole source of income over
condom
there.
Back on the mic, yeah. Everybody.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The lady walks in, I was bareback, and I didn't know what to do. That's illegal in the state of California. We know that now. We passed legislation.
I'm sorry that she timed it perfectly wrong for your story.
So anyway, I was laying there, and you know, the end of it was that I realized I'm not going to find out exactly where he is. He's not going to get out. I'm also kind of not liking the fact that I'm calling him a he, because I really don't feel that another man would come into another man's house and try to destroy it. Anybody who's ever had a bachelor place that then your girlfriend moved into, she immediately tries to change it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now I'm going to call them women, rats.
Okay.
And that's what's happened. So now I called the exterminator. This is what my $2,600 gets me.
Oh, my God.
I called them, and they bumped up. They do a follow-up inspection to come and check the traps.
Yeah.
So they do they're coming tomorrow now. Instead of Wednesday.
Okay.
So they're going to come on a Saturday afternoon to come and check the traps and see what they're getting at and make sure that they're not. It was really thorough. I mean, at first I was paranoid about paying that much money because I looked around in other places. It was like $500, but for $500 you just kind of get traps laid.
Yeah.
They cleaned out everything underneath the house. All the droppings, everything. They swept it all out, and then they sprayed this pheromone stuff, and then they even took metal grates and put them around the plumbing, the drainage line that comes out of the kitchen sink.
Right.
They put a mesh thing over that and then filled it with spray insulation so that the thing can't even get up and in the house.
Yeah, they're trying to say no entry.
Yeah, and then so I told them that they made it halfway up the wall, and so the guy says, okay, well, I'm either going to block off the attic or I'm going to block off the bottom. He said, I don't want to block off both because then we'll seal it in the wall and you'll have a dead rat in your wall.
Right.
And it'll start to stink.
Right.
And the only way to get it out is to punch out all the plaster. So he sealed it at the top, thus trapping one of them in the attic. And that's the part I'm worried about, because I have blown in insulation that cost me about $4,000. And if it tears all that up, then I'm hosed. I got to take it all out and put it all back in. But I think it's just one up there because it doesn't stink. And I really think I should stop doing rat talk on our Father's Day episode.
Right. Before you launched into that, by the way, you said... You know, talking about fathers and Father's Day, and then you told this long rat story, and I'm just wondering how you're bringing that back. You don't even remember how you started, do you?
Well, what I was going to get into was the thing I had planned, but then the rats, because here's the reason why I told the story.
Yeah.
Is that I do think this is a very father thing.
I got
That's you. Why I do think that this is something, like most of the guys listening to this are going, I've been there. Or I hope that's not me. Because there's something very different. Like, I think I might have come close to having a panic attack about this thing living. When you have a house and you pay for it, you know what I mean? There's this different bond, I think, that men feel with something that they pay a mortgage
for. Right, you're not going to see a renter with his tie around his head like a Rambo
and peanut
bandana.
Peanut butter on his face. Peanut butter. Rolling around in insulation.
The flashlight and a tennis racket in his underpants and socks walking up and down the driveway trying to lay still and ambush the rat.
That is strictly a mortgage-paying man there. And I think, and the woman, not, now listen, before I start getting emails from, you know, the 32% female audience that we have on this show, I'm willing to bet that most of the women listening to, if not all of the women, are very different. But a woman's reaction to a rat is very like, oh, you're going to handle that, you know, kind of a thing. Or it's icky. That's icky.
Right.
Now, listen, we've got a couple of chicks here who, you know, swill.
Yeah, that's how Luna feels about food. You're going to handle that.
And water stains and yeah, Jack
glass,
Daniels. The other thing, speaking of which, yes. On the last episode, talking more about the sex toy extra credit, we had our first submission.
Oh,
you can find
it. I think I saw that.
You can find it at the Dad Podcast or Facebook.com/Dad Podcast of our wonderful couple, Nikki and Mike. Mike said that because they don't have a teenager, he said, the best I could do is my wife's dildo. And he took a picture.
Oh, my God. That guy.
I posted it on the wall.
Yeah, I know. I seem to recall you saying send it privately or message stuff to me.
Yes, because I don't.
That's not going to hold.
I don't want them to shut down my Facebook account.
I know. Oh, my God. I'm not sure that Mike should be making those kind of decisions without assistance.
Well, here's the thing. It was not a full-blown selfie. You saw both of his hands. So my assumption is, my hope is that he did not have his toddler-age son take a photo of him and then surprise his
wife. Or take it with his joint somehow. It doesn't have to be a pic. It doesn't have to be a finger.
That is quite a selfie stick. That is quite a selfie stick. Not only that, but the dexterity he has, you know what I mean, to be able to hit the button.
Yes.
I mean, I know people who can't do it with their fingers.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and both buttons
and
I'm talking about.
And a flashlight, yeah.
A spelunking helmet.
Yeah,
still nothing.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That's good times. So let's see. Now let's get into – let's do this for a little bit. I'm going to hold off because I think the quotes are funny. Wait. Hold on. We have something. Yep. That's my husband was deployed and my daughter – oh, that's nothing to do with it. Oh, dropped it in my living room and I called my brother at 11. Yeah, okay. See, there's a mom listening in the chat room who said the exact same thing. Her dog found a mouse or a rat and dropped the room. She called her brother at 11 o'clock at night and said, you need to come over here and handle this.
Right.
And that's another thing where it is a weird thing because I kind of feel like my wife couldn't sleep because we heard the scratching. It was waking us up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's this part where you feel like I have failed as a man. I have failed to kill this small creature who is now going to destroy my house and my checking account. Here's some tips for the dads on Father's Day. 10 of the hottest things a man can do. So this is a little – because here's the thing.
Yeah.
I believe that there are men out there that maybe – I don't know. Maybe it's – you know, the – what is it? The old saying is the anniversary birthday, and I think we should also add Father's Day into that where you get the lovey-dovey time.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Picking up what I'm putting down?
I am.
Irregardless of your frequency, I do believe that on Father's Day, the reason why we get, you know, shitty ties and underwear, which I like. I think it's a rite of passage. I'm a fan of it.
Yes.
Is that there will be sexy time given. And so if you want to be – if your thing is to give back – you know what I mean? Or to set up for the sexy time. Maybe your wife, if you have a very young child and she's very tired, here's some things you could do. Rub her feet and don't ask to have yours rubbed back in return. What guy wants his feet rubbed? Do you like a foot rub?
No. No, if we're going to spend any time rubbing anything, it's not the feet.
You go north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My knees. I'm a heavy guy. My knees really
hurt. They really ache. Yeah. You get a lot of your – you keep a lot of your tension in your knees.
Yeah, holding a lot of tension in my groin.
Who doesn't? Teach me to use the remote for the umpteenth time. I don't know what that means.
Well, listen. Hang on a second.
Can your wife drive the TiVo?
No.
Yeah.
No, here's the thing. We've had DirecTV, I don't know, I think it's been 6 years. And nine times out of ten, when we say, can you pause it? She turns off the television or she switches to a different show. I mean, she cannot hit the right button. You could blindfold me, put me in the dark, drug me and beat me with a cricket paddle around the head and shoulders. And I would still be able to operate that thing because the buttons don't move and the assigned functions don't shift.
Yes.
So, you know.
My wife cannot wrap her mind or, you know how it has the bump back button?
Yes.
So, ladies, if you're listening and you want to impress your men, fast forward, right? When you see the first scene of the show you're trying to watch, you press play and then you hit bump back once or twice. You know, give or take your reaction time. And you'll always pretty much nail it.
Right.
And my wife has to, she goes past it, and then she goes back to rewind, which is, it's like a teenager learning to drive.
With a stick,
yeah. They lunge, and then they stop, and then they lunge, right. And then they stop.
And then it stalls.
Because, it's overcorrecting. And so now she's fast-forwarding, but then she's hit the fast-forward button. Or it's, you might as well be watching the commercials, because now you're just watching them at 1.5 speed without audio.
Forwards and backwards. Yes.
Exactly.
No, to her credit, Luna can skip forward and skip back, but like I say, a high percentage of the time she hits the wrong button in doing that function and it will just shut the whole thing off or whatever.
Because I often feel like
I live with two teenagers who have endless patience for those shenanigans. We don't even watch TV as a group anymore.
I taste sarcasm. Is that
yes, it is. Anyway, go on.
No, it's fine.
Enough about me.
Well, it's the remote is an interesting thing with the guys. I know that people think, yeah, right, but I'm not a chauvinist. You know what I mean? If my wife could get past the detriment that her ovaries give her.
I understand. Listen.
Then I would let her drive the remote.
Look, if you say something that's sort of negative about women in general or whatever it is, it's not automatically sexist when it's true.
Right.
You know, when it's true, it's just the truth, and, you know.
When it's scientific fact that women cannot drive cars, drive remotes, just, I guess, drive in general.
Okay.
Then, yeah.
I got to be careful with that because I have way more accidents on my.
Because you drive more.
Well, that's true, but her zero, it's still hard to beat that number. Because no matter how you crunch the numbers, if her side has a zero in it, then it's a wash.
But whenever, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I got your back on this. I hope she's listening to this episode.
No, she won't be.
Ask her for this to be your gift for Father's Day. because
I'm not going to get a foot rub. I'll tell you that right now.
So here's the thing. You have to not only – when you go get takeout, all right? Let's say burgers are going to be the takeout item at the Lancini Casa.
Sure.
What MapQuest-esque American treasure adventure do you have to go on? You know what I mean? Like how many bumps around to different locations does one Paco Lancini have to do?
All three of them do eat the same burger. Finally, I've learned this, so okay. I can just go to In-N-Out.
Thank you for shitting on my point.
Oh, sorry. You picked the wrong thing.
Okay, it's on me for not memorizing. What is the thing then?
Pizza.
Okay. So you have to go to three. You have to drive around to three different pizza places, or you have them delivered?
No, no. I go get them because if I have them delivered, good. We never all have.
See,
food
even
at the
better,
same time.
Even better. They cannot be delivered by three. And then you have what? Here's the thing. I would love it to like the awkward where they each pizza delivery guy feels like the cheated on girlfriend. You know what I mean? When they all arrive at the same time.
Like, what are you doing? They all get back in the car and go.
Yeah. They throw your pizzas at the house.
So, yes, I have to.
You have to drive around. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
When Luna goes to get food, she just goes for herself, usually. Or she's going to and from work or to and from wherever she goes. It's a one-stop shop.
Right.
So even when you're traveling by yourself, it's because it happened this weekend where you went to Ralph's, but they did not have the chips that were desired. So then your plan was to go to Target and get the chips that were desired.
That was actually a return to Target to see if the chips had reappeared on the shelf since the last time I was there.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you need a Fitbit for your car. So you can track the differences in steps.
If only there was a device on the car that tracked distance.
I don't know. Maybe those Fitbit kids will come up with something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. A pedometer for a car, you think, is what
something
they would call
like that? Yeah,
sure. Maybe and it would remind you when you needed an oil change. Like they could put a sticker
Hang
and
on
give
a
you
second.
That,
this isn't science fiction. We're just working on stuff that might be possible.
Okay.
All right.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
This is what I love because we're also talking about it. Recognize my limitations and help me compensate for them. You know that I'm directionally challenged and have trust issues with my GPS. Thank you for not mocking me for this. Thank you for always printing out the directions from MapQuest because for me, they're my driving binky. Thank you. Who is this woman? I hate her already. What are you talking about? My wife could use a GPS better than I can.
Yeah.
But she wants to tell me ahead of time what the GPS is saying.
She wants to cut the GPS off and give you bad information.
Exactly. And I love that when it's something weird about my wife is that she has to point where she wants me to go. And if it's an exit, where she points, she is genetically engineered as a woman,
yes.
And the cars are subsequently also yes. engineered to fit this evolutionary need.
Yes.
That when she points, she is now putting her arm across the mirror that I need to change lanes to get to the exit that I already fucking knew I had to take.
Yes.
And so now I have to make sure I'm not hitting someone's blind side.
Luna goes into a panic when I ask her to run the GPS on the phone just to, you know.
Has she ever driven while you're riding in the car?
It does happen from time to time.
And how does that go?
I keep my mouth closed. She's a good driver. She's not good on freeways, so we'll plan to take local streets.
Okay.
And you know, certain traffic situations and looking for stuff and whatnot. But
and for anybody who doesn't believe me, my father-in-law, with all of his strokes and everything,
yes.
my mother-in-law said, she goes, you know, he hasn't been doing so good and everything, you know, yeah. lately. And then she goes, and Natalie was like, oh, did he go to lay down? She goes, yeah, the drive's really hard for him. Like. Yeah, but you're able-bodied, right? You know how to yeah. work a vehicle. On
yeah,
a
yeah. He's anyway. He's twisted in knots, but yeah.
but she's, yeah. but I'm a princess. I need to be chaperoned or chauffeured to the house.
Right, right.
Be a good tipper. Be decisive. I don't think this is what women want. I don't know. I may not agree with all of your decisions, but I want you to make them anyway. Yeah, I'm going to say no on that one there, Huffington Post lady. Isn't that I enjoy second-guessing you and I'm not laying it in wait, ready to pounce with an I told you so. It's that I don't want to be responsible for everything, and when you won't be decisive, I have to be. Now, I have this with my wife where I say to her, I go, what do you want to eat for dinner? And she goes, I don't know. What do you want? And yes. I say, okay, here we're about to go down this tunnel. I said, so here's what I'm telling you. When I say, what do you want? It's because I don't have a craving for anything. Now, if you don't have a craving for anything, because we know that every choice is Sophie's choice for her when it comes
right.
to food. I go, you just need to tell me if you need me to make the call, and I will make the call, and it will be something that you will enjoy. Because that's the other thing. She's
right.
not selective like your wife is about things.
Yeah.
She'll eat just about anything, but it's I don't know what it is about the pressure of any other thing she can make a decision on, but not food.
We did this just yesterday as we were headed out to the car, and I said, so what were you thinking? She said, she was the one mentioning, let's go get lunch out.
Right.
I said, what were you thinking? And she said, I don't know, what do you want? Now, I know that there's only three places that she likes, and if I name what I want, we're never going to go there.
Right.
So there's really no point in me doing that.
Yeah.
And we ended up at a good choice, but I had to force it back on her. Anyway, I had to make her decide.
Well, that's the other thing somebody said in the chat room, which is I get this with my wife where you say, what do you want? And then they say, I don't know, what do you want? And then you say, well, how about Baja Fresh? And they go, nah, I don't want that.
Right, right. Oh, and that's definitely feeding Chad these days.
Yeah.
Is I don't even do it anymore. He's like the mouse. He's like the yeah. rat in my house. I hear some scratching in the kitchen. It's him climbing into the pan.
There's some peanut butter on his door.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just gets whatever it is and goes back because I know I'm not going to agree with whatever he puts in himself. I know it's not going to require my preparation. He's on his own. I have a 14-year-old mouse.
This one I like. Plan a vacation for us. I think that I would like to meet some of these women. They're writing these articles because maybe they're living a more stereotype. Does Luna plan all of your vacations, like pull out the itinerary or anything?
Well, using the phrase "all of our vacations" is a grand way to describe it. But yeah, she is very much a planner when it comes to vacations.
Oh, okay.
She's not a planner when it comes to a random Saturday or how is this day we just woke up into going to work. She doesn't want to be bothered with figuring it out.
Be thoughtful with your gifts. Here's one that's bad for you, Paco. Uh-huh. Remember important dates. Do you remember how you forgot your anniversary?
I didn't forget my anniversary or her birthday.
Misremember-
First of all, you are misremembering that you accused me of forgetting her birthday. I can't.
Yeah, because it's around the same time as your anniversary, which I think
no,
you
it's around the same time as my father's birthday, and that was the mistake I made.
See,
on that single occasion,
being here with me has helped you remember all these dates. You're welcome. All right, I want to read this story because I think it's absolutely fantastic. Everybody knows that I do the This Week in Bad Parenting on CD
159
in
Omaha. Oh, gosh, I love these, yeah.
This one I stumbled across. I haven't shared this, right, the mother-in-law thing? Because my mother-in-law was coming, and I think I pimped it but never got to it.
I don't think you did, but...
So tell me if I've already done this, but this is like a Dear Ann Landers kind of situation
yeah.
where somebody writes into a woman, and this is something that somebody actually wrote in and says, my parents have always been excessively demanding house guests. When I was in my 20s... Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry. My husband, our three young children, and I recently went on vacation with my in-laws. We provided the accommodations. My mother-in-law tries to act more like our children's mother than a grandmother. She loves her grandchildren, but she is very interfering, judgmental, and disrespectful to me and my husband. On this recent visit, she brought a children's book for our five-year-old daughter that was missing the last two pages. Have I gone into this?
No, you haven't.
It's great. The book was about a girl who visits her grandmother for the summer every year. My mother-in-law wrote an ending with my daughter that said the girl's parents died and she got to live with her grandmother forever.
Wow.
It was written like a happy ending. When we confronted her, away from the children, that it was inappropriate, she blamed our five-year-old, saying it was all her idea. I'm so upset, I can't even look at this woman. Now she is suggesting we get together again next month to go camping. What should we do if she wants to go camping?
You should buy insurance.
Not insurance. I would kill that bitch in the woods.
Right.
I'd get her first.
Yeah.
I would say the best defense is a good offense in this situation.
Yes.
And I would off her ass and her
seriously
sleep in a tent.
Seriously consider that.
And
yes.
Say, grandma went off to heaven. Or at least not go camping.
Right.
I wouldn't take a cruise.
No.
Because she could push you over the edge.
Lost at sea.
Definitely no hot air balloon rides.
Right.
Wherever that is.
Right.
Anything adjacent. I think
white
it just
water rapids.
Has to be like a Sandals resort where there are people around at all times.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
and
not one of those sexy resorts, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think that's like the family all
is the sexy version. I don't know. So there's
you get your resorts mixed up?
Yeah, I do. Like my birthdays, you fucker.
Oh, so I like that story. And then we'll do this and go into the dad quotes. But this is I don't know if that this guy's a father, but I think I like everything about what he's doing, so it's worth mentioning.
Yes.
This is a guy who lives in Milwaukee. And he wrote on his roof, he lives in the flight path to the Milwaukee airport.
Oh,
have you heard of this?
No, well, I understand.
He wrote
what
on his roof
is.
In white paint, "Welcome to Cleveland." Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
The guy's a legend, just a god and hero among men. Mark Gubin, or Gubin, is an artist and photographer in Milwaukee. And decades ago, he realized that his studio was along the flight path to the local airport. He had the brilliant idea to paint on the roof of his studio in giant letters, "Welcome to Cleveland." Why? To mess with people, mostly. The sign is decades old and is having new life today after being passed around Twitter. For years, the sign has caused passengers on planes to freak out and about going to the wrong place. There apparently was a Denver to Cleveland flight that stopped over in Milwaukee, and the sign caused all sorts of confusion from passengers who thought the plane must have skipped the layover. Isn't that great? And so
that's awesome.
The airport has contacted him and asked him to remove the sign, but he's technically not doing anything illegal, so he doesn't have to remove said sign.
Speaking of not doing anything illegal, just so that we can all enjoy the benefits of this.
Happy Father's Day, Gentleman Jack.
Thank you. This is more than just Happy Father's Day. This is Happy Anniversary.
Happy Anniversary to us, which I forgot. I've just displaced. You tilted your head back like you just did a drop of acid. Is it still in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Swallow it. What are you doing?
I couldn't swallow it.
Are you trying to put it back in the shot glass?
I did. I'm sorry. I don't care about cleaning up. This is horrifying.
You can't walk back over there with freaking whiskey dribbled all over your shirt.
Hang on a second. Let me just. Sorry.
All right.
Oh, that was way more liquid in my mouth than I could handle. Oh, my God.
You need to sip it or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're sipping it like a cappuccino.
Ah!
Man, Drew, you really like to punish this poor guy.
This is what I remembered.
Although there was some time that I was sending you over to your house. I think it was the last time we had this gentleman, Jack, and you were worried about smelling like booze on your breath. What do you think you could smell like with it all over your shirt?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's got to be.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
You asked for it.
I know. I just poured way too much in there.
Yeah, that's a shot.
I know.
All right.
I missed the opportunity.
You want to listen to this? Here's the thing. I'm going to check the emails, but I wanted to see if anybody wanted to send in some funny dad quotes because Fallon did something like this on Twitter, and I thought it was great. My favorite quote that my father said, and I actually got to recently start saying it to my son.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I mentioned it on a recent episode where I said, "I will make another one that looks just like you." That was
my favorite
quote. So this comes to us from The Tonight Show. Enjoy. Oh, turn this up, Justin.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Nope, that's not what I want. That was The Graduate.
That was The Graduate.
Here we go.
And I asked you guys to tweet out a funny, weird, or embarrassing thing your dad has said. I tweeted out my mom, some stranger was giving my mom the Heimlich in a restaurant, and my dad said, hey, mind your own business.
I think these are great.
butt out.
That was a good
letter. Let her see if she can do it herself. We got thousands of tweets. In fact, within 20 minutes, it was a trending topic in the United States. So thank you for those tweets. These are really good. So I thought I'd share some of my favorite dad quotes tweets from you guys. Here we go. This first tweet is from @RockyH77. His dad said, have you heard of this thing called YouTube? It has the Eagles on it. The Eagles on it.
The Eagles, man.
Yeah, man. This one from @MikeCheck123. She says, my dad wouldn't come visit because he said, it's closer for you to drive to my house than for me to drive to yours.
That's true. Oh, my God. I love that.
Right, Dad. Thanks, buddy. This one's from @AllisonMall. She says, we were playing catchphrase, and the answer was romance. My dad's clue was, you blank your wife on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna go home.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
I'm going to drive home. It's closer for me.
This one's from @SarahElfina. She says, I once walked into the kitchen to find my dad singing Let's Stay Together to a bag of potato chips. Sad. Yeah. As long as he's happy, yeah. Come on. This one's great. It's from @CMac474. He says, my dad constantly says, what did she say? And then looks around for laughs. We have to remind him, that's what she said. What did she say?
Right?
What did she say?
Oh, that's funny.
What did she say?
I don't like the fact that we're being represented as idiots, but I can't help but feel like it's so hilarious. And I look forward to being this guy. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
I know that you like to make fun of me.
What did she say?
Well, right?
Yes.
What did she say?
And then they look around like, hey, give it to me. Give me the love.
Hashtag nailed it.
Yeah.
And I know that you make fun of me for being so looking forward to my kids becoming teenagers. Because right. That's when I can really embarrass them and make their lives horrible. It's what I look forward to. And that's why I think all this stuff is so funny.
And what did you say? We just started that, man. Start saying that.
Yeah. What did she say?
Yeah. Hey, this problem's hard. What did she say? This one's from @ChristinaTerry. She says, I asked my dad if I was adopted, and he said, trust me, no one would pay for you.
Oh, wow. That's
now, that
hard.
Reminds me of a great one that my dad had that was not directed at me, but it was directed at my cousins.
Yeah.
They were spending the day with us one time, and it was summer in Northern California, and in the Central Valley, it gets like 110.
Yo.
And the car didn't have air conditioning. And so we kept the windows down like you would in the 80s. So we're riding, and the car comes to a stop, and my cousins start rolling up the windows. And my dad goes, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And they said, well, when the car stops, we have to roll up the windows because somebody's going to reach through and grab us and take us.
Oh,
and so my dad, to make them feel better, said, nobody wants you. He goes, your parents barely want you. Why do you think you're with me this weekend?
But how many times did they had to have heard that?
I know. Well, they also, my uncle built a fence, like a chain link fence around the front yard. And when they played in the front yard, they would say, don't go near the edge because somebody's going to grab you and take you.
Really?
Yeah, these poor
that
kids.
Sounds like a mom at work.
No,
to
they're doing great. It's like 37 and they're just now moving out. It's doing
well,
great.
Well, listen, hang on a second. I think it's only fair. You know, like I leased a car and I had them put in a low jack, or they talked me into putting in a low jack, and then 2 years later, I still had the car and no one had ever touched it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like just leaving it running in a bad neighborhood and just walking away from it.
So you
could
take advantage,
call in and go, I'm going to get my $700 for it. Well, I think really somebody ought to come by and throw a black bag over their heads and throw them into a panel van
just me, so
that they didn't waste all this time worrying.
If there was an 8-year age difference instead of like a 6-month age difference, I would have definitely been that guy. I would have definitely
Or alternately, since I'm certain it came from their mom, we should abduct her.
I don't know. Could have been my uncle, too.
Oh, no, really?
Good night, Dad. Good night.
I'm watching the Eagles. Shut.
Yeah.
This is the Eagles. This is the Eagle Channel.
Yeah. This one's from at Eva Kemp. She says, when I told my dad I was going to France for 3 weeks, he said, you got to be careful there because you know they're all bisexual.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That wasn't in the photos guide.
Yeah.
The one thing he knows.
That wasn't in the Lonely Planet.
Well, it was.
This one's from at Live In Just Today. She says, I asked my dad why we never had the talk about drugs. He said, I don't have to worry about you. You don't have any money.
Being a dad is the best.
That's what she said. What did she say?
No,
you couldn't even get it wrong.
This last one is from at Team Selena FTW. She says, I asked my dad if I can go to a 50 Cent concert. He said, here's a dollar. Take your sister.
Oh, that's
isn't that
awesome.
Great? That's so awesome. Much fun. You know, it's funny, like, because like I said, you joke about how, you know, dads can be considered incompetent, but that just, that, I think that we should, if you own it, it seems a lot better. That's what that taught me.
That line that, that it was on my last moment of the week from Diego was a dad line when I said, you know, is my butt in the way? Not more than it usually is. I mean, that is fits right into those, yes. Those rhythms there, but I don't think I have anything for my own father who... He's not. He loves a joke and he loves wordplay and he likes the sort of the ping pong of it. But he doesn't do it with an edge to it. It's
I think you're. Tell me if I'm wrong. But from what the little I know about your dad is that he's more of like a running gag kind of guy than he is a catchphrase kind of guy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yes. Well. Yes and no. I mean, certainly we have our own. Kind of, well, I'm not sure what the difference between a running gag and a catchphrase would be in the way you're saying it, because running gag kind of is a family catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he, that's what she said, is a modern variation, become popular, I think, because of The Office, mm-hmm. because Michael Scott used to say it on The Office. But that's a variation on the one that we have used historically, which is, I said to the Duchess. Or that the bishop said to the showgirl, you know, it's the same joke. It's just different language.
What kind of a aristocrat vaudeville family?
Well, that's just it. He was born too late for vaudeville and too late for silent movies. And he wanted to be in one or the other and he was in neither. So, yes.
It is interesting to compare our upbringings because I was raised by redneck wolves and the word duchess and bishop never entered anybody's.
No.
Minds, let alone fell out of their mouths.
Right, right.
Unless they were making some kind of weird, inappropriate joke about chess. That would be the only way this bishop would come up in our house.
But my father's not spending any energy coming, like saying those kinds of things. He will make a wordplay on something you say, but there's never any kind of edge or venom to it. Here's a dollar, take your sister. He might say that. That's just plain funny. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah.
He will enjoy that joke. But, no, so he doesn't, and I'm not sure that I do. You'd have to ask Diego, because I'm hilarious, as we all know. I'm hilarious. But
I feel like we'd have to talk to Diego
for me to sit here and tout the hilarious things I've said to my kids as a father.
Why not? It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
But I don't know that's cricket, as far as this game is concerned, if you're familiar with that expression.
No, why would I be familiar with it? This is America. We play baseball.
The British have an expression. Back me up, Christopher. It says that something is not cricket, meaning it's against the rules. It's not fair.
Okay. Well, to be fair,
yes.
About 4% of our audience is from England.
Yes,
so
I know.
You're really, playing, you're really to playing to our strengths.
Well, that's like you announcing the Cairo knife fight to the two Australians and the
that was a favor to a neighbor.
I see. This is who is again only one
now,
person.
Now this neighbor Christopher that you speak yes. of, he is not a neighbor, and he is far, far away.
That's true.
But I'm sure, nonetheless, I will backpedal and say I'm sure he found it delightful.
Sure he did.
My only hope is that he goes, no, we don't say that.
Exactly. That I completely mangled it and that no one says it at all. Yes, they used to say that.
The guy
50
who said
years ago.
When he does any accent from Europe, sounds like Michael Caine.
We were watching Michael Caine just before I came over, and the first line in the movie when he walks out the door, somebody says to him, who are you? And I said, I'm Michael Caine. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's good times. That's yes. good times. Well, here's the thing. Let's do this. 10 things every man should own because it's Father's Day. And so if you're looking for a gift, it's late. A suit that actually fits, which I think your son now has. He's almost there. At least one great coffee table book. I think that's garbage. I don't. Who needs a coffee table book?
And who decides which one is great?
When you're a man, it's usually because you're married and you don't have any say in the design of your house.
We have coffee table books. That's all I'm going to say.
But did you pick them?
They're more likely were gifts. Or somebody said,
you look so depressed.
No, I'm sorry. Because no, my dad will go, I don't really want this, do you? And it'll be like the history of Pixar or something like, I'm like, yes, everybody in my house would want that.
That makes me think that somebody who had the ambition to write a coffee table book that is like, I want to be that thing that gets re-gifted forever.
Yes, yes.
I'll sell 3 copies and they will just be passed around from place to place.
A friend of mine is writing a coffee
table
book.
I don't even have a coffee table.
I know you don't.
Your friend is writing a coffee table
book? He was tapped to do the text. His buddy is a photographer.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so the photographer guy is putting together the pictures and he's supposed to write the...
A decent bottle opener is another one. I have one.
I think we have one. We don't drink.
Oh, a good pair of headphones. Are headphones manly now? I think earbuds are the thing you're supposed to have.
Well, I mean,
although I do like the idea of going full blown, like, because that's what I think. Headphones now, if you wear the big ones, you're a kid.
Well, they're Beats by Dre, and there are certainly ones that are hugely popular. And I think if you are serious about music, then yes, you need a headphone.
But that's what I heard. If it's Beats by Dre, the drivers in those headphones, like mostly you're paying for the name.
Right.
Sennheiser makes better ones. Anyway, a bag you can use for anything. I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Yeah.
It could be a body bag. It could be
a bowling bag.
Yeah. A decent watch. A sharp knife for the kitchen, a good tie, a pen that didn't come in a pack of 5. My dad always has had, like, awesome pens that are, like, for him. Some of them even used to have, like, his initials engraved, and I never get it. He always carried one pen and one pencil in his pocket at all times.
I think pens are super cool, and that's all I'm going to say.
A toolbox with at least 2 screwdrivers, a hammer, a tape measure, and pliers. I find that to be insulting. If you're a man, you should have more than just a basic. That is a toolkit, a toolbox that you get for your 22-year-old daughter when she goes out to college.
That's what I was going to say. When she graduates college.
That's not a man. Does not a man make?
Yeah.
I think you need to have at least a saber saw of some kind.
If you're giving your daughter a toolkit for college, it should have that bottle opener.
Yeah.
And it should have some condoms and some other stuff, but not so much a screwdriver.
Oh, jeez.
Unless it's orange juice and vodka.
Now, here's what's interesting. The rest of the top 50 are actually better ones. A good TV, a good bottle of whiskey, which Drew took care of for you.
Yes.
A Zippo, which I don't smoke anymore, but I agree. It is pretty badass to have a Zippo. A comfortable pair of slippers. A pocket knife, which I just bought before I even read this because I wanted to be more like my father, evidently. A good grill. That is definitely a must.
Yes.
One real piece of art. I think that's horseshit. And a passport is the other one that you need to have. Do you keep up your passport?
No.
Okay.
We got them when we were on the cruise, I want to say to Alaska. We had them. But that was more than 5 years ago or more than 7 years ago, so they have expired.
All right. Well, let's do here's what I've learned.
Yes.
From this very episode.
Yes.
I have learned that when Justin plans to have a guest and preps accordingly, says, I'm going to need a couple stories that I would like. Because here's the thing. I want to get into it, but I was kind of saving it for another situation. Let's burn this one because I'm tired of looking at it. And then we'll wrap this up. But I mentioned it after you left with Amanda, and she did not seem interested in any of these.
She barely seemed interested when we were talking about her.
No, she was interested when we were talking about her. But I think when I said, "Hey, what do you want to talk about these stories?" I think she was like, I don't know.
She's like, wait a minute. The other guy just left.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was an option to leave in the middle.
What if everybody did? That's funny. So this is a true story that I found while doing some prep at the radio station, is that Heartache for Japan's Real-Life 40-Year-Old Virgins, a 2010 survey by the National Institute of Population and Social Security Research, found that around a quarter of unmarried Japanese men in their 30s were still virgins, even leading to the coining of a specific term, yarimiso, to describe them. Now, here's the reason why. The figure was up around 3 percentage points from a similar survey in 1992. The period corresponds with Japan's prolonged economic slowdown after a stock and asset bubble burst and the one-time financial powerhouse suffered years of lackluster. So here's the gist. These guys are not making any money, and they're working more than they ever did. And so subsequently, sex is never a thing for them.
Oh, okay.
Like it doesn't happen. And they're now having academies for people to learn how to establish a sexual experience.
Those are single guys.
They have virgin academia programs.
Wow.
Decades ago, rigid social morals helped shepherd growing adults through the key stages of life, Sakatsumi told AFP. But nowadays, it is now all up to each individual.
Is this from The Onion?
No.
Because Sakatsumi sounds like a guy who... probably...
Sakatsumi.
Okay, sorry.
It's my Native American tongue.
Okay.
Having trouble with the Japanese one.
All right.
It's now all up to each individual to find a potential partner and negotiate for sex. This is what I loved about this article, is the way that they approach it. It seems so Japanese to me. I don't know if I'm an idiot, but it's like, now we are going to negotiate for sex. I'm going to slide a number across for you. The number is which of the holes I prefer to enter.
Oh, my God.
And then you can either accept or deny.
Right. On the piece of paper, it's going to say what I'll give you for this. And on the piece of paper, it says anything.
Anything. The 41-year-old Sakai has enrolled in the Virgin Academia and goes to life drawing classes where he sketches naked women as part of a scheme to help participants understand the female body. The first time I did this in autumn last year, oh, I was so amazed. Their bodies are incredibly beautiful, he said.
Yeah.
One thing I learned is that there are many different shapes of breasts and even genitals, he said. This is a 41-year-old man.
Oh, dear.
Sake feels his time at the Virgin Academia has been useful. He doesn't know if he will ever pass that particular milestone, but the course has helped him to see his lack of sexual experience as less of life or death thing. Oh, I see. Sexual experience is less of a life or death thing.
It's not a life or death thing for him anymore.
There is no need to be pessimistic, he said. After all, being a virgin isn't fatal. So why read that story? I read that story because sometimes, as we all know, I had an interaction at a preschool party with another dad. And when you have the young children, it is like you're on such a dry spell. So now,
that's funny. I thought
all
you were going to say
babies,
when you have a part-time job.
Yes.
I thought that's where it was going, but no.
When you have a part-time job, such as me, it's harder to get laid. But now what I want you guys to put your heads down at night, especially on this given Father's Day.
Or on our desk right now.
There are multiple men that are almost middle-aged in Japan and have never even tasted the sweet nectar of a hoo-hoo.
Right.
And at least you can live better knowing.
And only just now learning that there are all different shapes and sizes. Yeah.
Well, that's the part of me that it's like, I didn't, when I was with multiple partners, we're talking my junior year in high school, everybody.
Right. Like, you're talking about two hands.
I feel like I didn't spend enough time appreciating the downstairs flower for any of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I never got to see the variations. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I partook in them in the same way that you do the neighborhood haunted house where you blindly reach in and feel spaghetti and think that it's brains.
Or the way Diego eats a hamburger in that. It's before you have a chance to see it. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely my experience. I do remember, the four different sets of Bazoombas that I've seen live and in person.
Yeah.
I guess you can count six if you the time I went to a strip club, but
I don't know. Are you counting them individually? Is this three girls or
these
six
are by the
girls?
Pairs. Okay. If I did it individually, I would actually break double digits.
There you go.
And I would feel so proud of myself.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a little.
I'm sorry. No. I know you keep reaching for the button, but I'm just thinking about when you sort of close your eyes and picture, this is from Japan, is it not? Or was it China?
Japan.
Okay. So when you close your eyes and you picture a Japanese woman,
mm-hmm.
We are all picturing exactly the same physique and exactly the same person. Mm-hmm. No wonder he was a little confused about shape.
They're like penguins, you think?
Well, yes, they all seem to be. There's not a lot of, they don't have the same sort of hips, say, that our South American friends have.
Ah, I see.
Or whatever it is, you know, that childbirth doesn't do to their bodies what it does to bodies around the world.
Hmm.
So, I'm sorry. I'm just saying I don't actually now blame him after making fun of him about the body thing. Everywhere he looks, everyone looks the same.
Well, I think it is because what he's realizing is that they are different. But what you're saying is, are you saying that when you see them clothed, they all look alike?
Exactly.
All right. So really all you're saying is that you're a racist.
Well, yeah, though that became abundantly clear to me as I was in the middle of it.
Ironically, when you drink Tennessee whiskey, you get transported back to 1942, evidently.
So you should lock them up. Oh, my God. By the way,
no, you just want to keep him around to build a railroad. I see what you're saying.
While you were reading that story, I had more.
Yes.
Because
I saw that.
I didn't want to have more on my shirt than I had in my stomach.
Let's do a moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So as I said, by the time you're hearing this, it would have been on Thursday that we celebrated Jack's fourth birthday. And beforehand, we do a little thing where we let them kind of pick the events of the day.
Yeah.
So I said to Jack, what do you – oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to let you go
That's
first.
That's right. No, no, no. Number one was the rat guy.
Yes.
He opted to have the rat guy come in. No. The thing is I may or may not be verklempt on mine, so
okay.
You go ahead and start.
All right. So the so I go, what do you want for your birthday for breakfast? And he was eating jelly toast. And he goes, this. And I'm not doing that thing where I'm making him sound like a 30-year-old. He really did. He goes, this. And he pointed to his plate. And I said, you want jelly toast for your birthday? And he goes, yeah, I like it. And Jacob goes, what? You, Jack, he steps in like a lawyer at a mediation. He's
right.
Like, hold on. Like, he's putting his hand over the microphone.
Right.
And whispering.
That's funny. Like, or like a guy doing the negotiation between a Japanese virgin
and his potential partner.
Yeah, and his potential partner. No, you don't say.
Yeah, no, Zelda, listen. No, listen, you don't understand. He's literally, because he did, he kind of leaned in and he goes, you could have waffles, you could have pancakes, you could have donuts. Like, so frustrated. And Jack goes, I like jelly toast. And I go, if he wants jelly toast, he wants jelly toast. And then he goes, you don't want donuts? And then Jack goes, I like donuts. And I go, okay, you want donuts? He goes, yeah, donuts. I go, okay. I go, you want bacon? And he goes, yeah, bacon and donuts. So then some time had passed. I said, okay, well, what do you want for lunch? This is the day before his birthday.
I see. Okay.
So I said, what do you want for lunch? And he goes, peanut butter jelly sandwich. And there's a part of me that is listening to this going, is my kid living under a rock?
Right.
But at the same time, like, maybe he's just going to be a stereotypical guy.
Right.
Much more than his father ever could be.
Chunky. Yeah. Afterwards.
No,
like,
there was nothing.
Kick it up a notch. No.
He's like, I want that Laura Schneider organic, like, all natural peanut butter where it separates. I want the oil to be separate. It has to be stirred. You know, I want some calories burned.
Diego just had me buy some of that for him. That will sit in my cupboard for the rest of my life. Hasn't even opened it.
So I go, peanut butter jelly it is, my man. And then I go, and this is where it gets good, is that I go, well, what about dinner? And he, same tone, just goes, just crab. And he goes, just crab. I go, what? He goes, just crab. Crab's good. And I said, wait, you want crab? I'm hearing that right? Like,
yeah,
not crap.
Yeah. Right.
You're hearing crab. And he goes, yeah, crab. So we go to Outback, and this fucking kid ate 4 crab legs.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the thing. A normal father would be like, that would be the end. Oh, it's a very cute moment. It's awesome because he said these 2, like, cheap, you know, things. And, you know, one is the main staple diet for either a road comic or a college student.
Yeah.
You know, it's that and top ramen. That's what he had for lunch. And then he goes full tilt.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Lobster.
Right.
Lobster Thermidor.
Exactly. But so the part that I was like, the part that blows my mind is like, so let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You're a toddler who will eat crab, right? But if I make you a cheesy beef pasta skillet that is made of everything that is good and wholesome to any other child in the world, that you look down your nose, and every meal that I have prepared for you in every fucking day of your life, you just walk and you don't even taste it, don't even just look at it and go, and start crying.
Yes, and this was the lecture he ordered?
Yes.
He said, what kind of lecture do you want after you eat the crab?
Actually, it was the lack of this lecture. I saved it for here. That was my birthday present to him.
There you go. There you go.
I did not give it to him. I just laughed it off and said, crab it is, my man. Yes. Crab it is.
Well, that's very sweet. I would, by the way, kill a family member, not directed at an immediate family member, to have my children eat that one day.
Oh, my gosh.
Those three things one day.
It was so funny because – so then my – Natalie, when we go to Outback, she gets a dinner, like a crab dinner, because – when she went to with him before, she wanted crab, so she got crab, and then they ended up eating all of her crab.
I see.
The kids started doing it. So Jacob had the
sexy music for that.
I know, right? The kid, Jacob, had the kid's rib plate. And Jack split a crab dinner, which I'm guessing is $35 for the dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is his fourth birthday.
So. Oh, my God. What is he, a Kardashian?
Exactly.
You're going to be renting out Disneyland the next.
Does he not understand we just had an exterminator come to the house for the cost of what is usually a 16-year-old's first car?
Right. If he had asked for rat legs, that would have been
I would have gladly sent him under the house and said, go get him, boy. Go get him. So that was my my moment of the – Jacob had another one where my sister sent him – oh, it was very funny. So we did the present opening too, and my dad kept saying – teasing him, going, give me that one. That one's for me. He goes, no, no. And then randomly there was one gift that he gave him, and Jacob was like, no. But they both got these Iron like Avengers books, and one of them has almost like a decoupage like activity book in it.
Right.
And this kid – spent all day working on this book to create these little art things.
Wow.
And like
cool.
How he, yeah, it was really, really cool to watch him just like, and he had like the things on the bottom of his thing or whatever. Oh, wait, hold on. Here, this is Jeff Meacham. We're literally wrapping it up. He says, I'm so sorry. Don't even remember. I'm looking at our past and don't see anything. None of, nothing. Okay, hold on. I'll talk to him later. So he's not coming today. Big shocker. So we'll be back there for another time after he goes on vacation.
I had comments about what you just said. One
is, go ahead.
I wanted to say that that Chad has been existing on a steady diet of Eggo waffles, a round Tostitos, as you saw the other day when I bought them, and Skittles. So even jelly toast would be, holy cow, good for you. I'd be so thrilled.
Nutrition upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. Even donuts and bacon would be better. That's number one. And number two, it's so funny because I am kind of a stalker. I will say that. So I'm walking around my life and I go, no, wait a minute. That's Jesse's car over there.
My father, yeah.
Yeah, what's that doing over there? It's like Thursday. It's like Wednesday. It's Thursday. Is he here for Father's Day? That doesn't sound right. He couldn't be here for Father's Day. He didn't even care about Father's Day. Why would he come down 3 days early for that? And, of course, now you're talking about the birthday. And I go, of course, he was here for the birthday.
Yeah, he's
but
here for the
I expended way too much energy trying to figure out why your dad was here. Like, what could have brought him down? Because it feels like he was just here or you were just there or something.
Yeah.
In any case, that's – anyway, are you done?
I am done. Sorry. Jesus. Evidently, 1 year in, and six total shots of whiskey in his entire life.
I sound like Luna now.
And he becomes a belligerent drunk. Are you done? Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'll be over here.
Oh, my God. God bless you, Drew.
Now it's a real – now, wow, the honeymoon period is over in this relationship too, I guess.
All right. So
what is it? The bloom fell off that rose real
quick. Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Oh, I'm so hot. Okay. Hang on, I gotta take off my hat. I gotta take off my hat. And I'm just covered in booze. It's one of the most uncomfortable half hours I've ever spent. All
I
right.
Used to get that drop.
That's a little better.
I'm so hot.
I'm gonna faint.
Please don't.
Okay, all right. Here's the thing. All right, so Moment of the week. I thought for this anniversary moment of the week that I would, or what I'm calling the Pacoversary, I would, as true to Paco form, I wouldn't do a straight, strict moment of the week. So what I thought about talking about, I could talk about the fact that, like, I came home the other night. It was late. I was out walking and doing my thing, and I came back, and it was like midnight or 12:15 or something, and I could hear murmuring in one of the bedrooms. I couldn't quite tell where. Now, usually, Chad is playing online with his friends who are only there in Australia. I don't know what it is. He's only available in the middle of the night. So it's not uncommon to hear him screaming obscenities to people on the other side of the world. But these were sort
of... I need the Sword of Gandor, you motherfucker!
Exactly. Are you stupid? So
you do that Leroy Jenkins bit one more goddamn time, and I will fucking gut you like a fish.
But this was much more pleasant, and it was Diego having one of those sort of long into the wee hours of the morning conversations with his girlfriend that you have when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, that's really sweet. But that's not my moment of the week.
Oh.
And then, you know, we've been having kind of a hard time over there lately, whatever. We had a hard time yesterday at home, and we were all headed out somewhere, and I was still back in the house, and Luna had already left, and she was gone hours before. And the boys were in the front yard, and I saw them hugging each other.
The two boys?
The two boys. Aww. And I thought that was really very sweet, but that's not my moment of the week.
What?
So my moment of the week, which is not really a moment of the week, is... the fact that, and I know I've talked before on this show about how much it means to me to have stumbled upon it and become an unwitting and not unwilling part of it, is to say that having the opportunity to share those kinds of events in my life on a regular basis with you and with our listeners is my sort of moment of the week or my moment of this year. Is that often when you're living in it, it's hard to see, and particularly when you're living in that, what I'm going through over there.
He pointed across the street.
it's very hard to see those good things around you and to be conscious of them and wary of them. And so it forces me to go, hey, that is important. That thing that just happened is something that you have to remember. And so everyone, whether you're sharing it with us or not, you should think about the moment of your week when it happens, grab a hold of it, keep it for yourself, share it with somebody else if you can. But I wanted to thank you and the listeners and everybody for letting me share my moments of the week with you. And that is my moment of the week.
Well said. Are you done?
Yes, I am.
Well, that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com, especially if you have a fun quote that your father said to you. I like to hear more. That is like yes. The discipline of your childhood. I want to hear what goofy shit your dad said. We got a question for Dr. J, so I'm looking for a few more so we can have him in. Send those. You can leave us a voicemail. If you I had an idea. Oh, damn it, Justin. So leave us a voicemail at our phone number, 877-222-8323. Like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. I would like to break 1,000 likes. If you want to see photos taken during the show, Paco has it on his Instagram. It's call_of_Dooley.
Oh, a couple winners today.
Yes. And, oh, you got more than one. You doubled down.
Look
at you go. All of our Twitter handles and everything are in the description of this here episode. We will be back on Tuesday. What is that date? I don't know. Whatever next Tuesday is at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Pacific is when we record on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So the next one will be Tuesday the 23rd. If you're listening to this live and you are living in the Southern California area, you can come see me at Claremont Flappers. I am headlining this Father's Day weekend out there. And hell, if you listen to it early enough and you want to come out, there's a 7 o'clock showing on today, Father's Day. They added that. I was kind of touched by that they don't do a show on Sunday, but they added it because I'm a daddy and that's what I talk about. Please subscribe to not only this show on iTunes. I said it last week, but I found out that only 30% of the people listening to this show actually subscribe. They always just go and get every episode.
Oh, wow.
So please go to iTunes and subscribe to
just
the show.
Subscribe, people. It's so much easier.
Yes, it just automatically puts – you could do it from your phone app. If you have an iPhone on the podcast app, all the other apps, they have a subscription thing where it automatically downloads them. And if you're worried about data charges. You can actually turn it off to where it only downloads shows when you're connected to a Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then please subscribe to Justin is Married, Booker is Single, and Adam is going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner.
Ah, good people, listen to me. Here is what I need you to do. I need you to go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom. And when you see the Amazon banner, click on that. It will take you through to the wonderful world of Amazon, where you will click on it as a bookmark. And every time you return to Amazon using that bookmark and buy something, we will get a little bit of appreciation from you. And
so sorry.
Why? Sorry.
Because that's the worst Chinese accent, accent I've ever heard anyone do. In the middle of it, I said, no one has any idea what's going on.
I thought you were doing a leprechaun version of Liam Neeson. That's what I was hearing, and usually that means that's what everybody else was hearing. So go back to your Irish action hero Chinese accent.
Well, folks, here's what I need you to do.
There you go.
I need you to scroll down to the bottom of
Hong
the site.
Get a
the Dad Podcast website, and what I want you to do there is click through to Amazon. And when you go there, bookmark it. Every time you return to Amazon using that bookmark, and you buy something, that's the key part, people, not just a window shop, but to actually buy something, then what will happen is they'll send a few little little coins. What is it that a leprechaun has in his head? Little pieces of gold will come our way.
The balloons? Or
the balloons, that's fine. That's more of a pirate thing, but it hardly matters at this point. And in any case, here's what you need to do, is that it doesn't cost you a darn thing, and it means the world to us.
Oh.
And it'll keep us in Gentleman Jack for as long as we please. So by all means, do that. And I know you will because you love us.
Thanks so much, Michael Caine. on behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Warsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, and happy Father's Day to you all. Thanks for listening.